Good evening. I'm glad that we could be together here this Lord's Day evening, in which we're going to be talking about the rat trap. You might have went home this evening and wondered exactly where this lesson would go. I know a lot of people have that. Kenzie sometimes hears what I'm going to be preaching on, and she's thinking, "What in the world is he how in the world is he going to make any sense out of that?" Well, we all know what the contraption is. We know what it's for. Sometimes we see it's not really more of a trap like that per se on the picture. Sometimes it's glue. Sometimes little tricks and things that we find that technology has advanced. But the idea is still the same. It is still a trap. And so the story that we're going to look at, you might remember from a previous bulletin article a while back. The story goes that a rat looked through a crack in the wall to see the farmer and his wife opening a package. What food might it contain? He was aghast to discover that it was a rat trap. Retreating to the farmyard, the rat proclaimed the warning. "There's a rat trap in the house, a rat trap in the house." The chicken clucked and scratched, raised her head and said, "Excuse me, Mr. Rat, I can tell this is a grave concern to you, but it is of no consequence to me. I cannot be bothered by it." The rat turned to the pig and told him, "There's a rat trap in the house, a rat trap in the house. I am so very sorry, Mr. Rat," sympathized the pig, "but there is nothing I can do about it but pray. Be assured that you are in my prayers." The rat turned to the cow. She said, "Like, wow, Mr. Rat, a rat trap. I am in grave danger." Duh. So the rat returned to the house, head down and dejected, to face the farmer's rat trap alone. That very night, a sound was heard throughout the house, like the sound of a rat trap catching its prey. The farmer's wife rushed to see what was caught. In the darkness, she did not see that it was a venomous snake whose tail the trap had caught. The snake bit the farmer's wife. The farmer rushed her to the hospital. She returned home with a fever. Now everyone knows you treat a fever with fresh chicken soup. So the farmer took his hatchet to the farmyard, to the soup's main ingredient. His wife's sickness continued so that friends and neighbors came to sit with her around the clock. To feed them, the farmer butchered the pig. The farmer's wife did not get well. She died. And so many people came for her funeral that the farmer had the cow slaughtered to provide meat for all of them to eat. So the next time you hear that someone is facing a problem and think that it does not concern you, remember that when there is a rat trap in the house, the whole farmyard is at risk. Now, this is exactly what we'll be talking about, is this story. It struck me as I was studying the other day about how true that really is. And the song that we have for the invitation, song encouragement, is hand in hand with it. Let's take them one by one. As we think about what this story does, the story reflects the attitudes that exist today in our society and even inside the Lord's church. And we're going to ask, as we go through these three that we're going to talk about from our story, is which attitude do we possess today? Which animal are we, so to speak? We might ask the question, how do we react and respond when someone we know has a rat trap to face in this life? We realize that we are all faced with problems, that we have our own trials, that we have our struggles of life that vary in nature and form. Typically, we deal directly and prudently with our own problems. You know, sometimes, you know, you think about surgery in this kind of sense. I don't think there's anything called minor surgery when it comes to me. If they're operating on me, it's always going to be major. You know, when you think about ourselves, it's always a major issue. But someone else might have the same issue some other time, and what will we think? Oh, it's not really big, because what is it? It does not affect me directly. You know, and that's kind of the same mentality that you see with a chicken, with a pig, and the cow, don't you? In that story. Is it really, it's not affecting me. I mean, it's just a little rat trap. What's a rat trap going to do for me? They had their own things to deal with in their daily life, especially there towards the end of the story. So I say the way that we deal with our own problems is not the issue in this article. Let's just go ahead and let's go ahead and get that out there. But rather, we need to notice how we deal with other people's rat traps. Once again, we talked about this morning, and we think about in the Bible class even about how we are enriched through our daily relationship with God. And it's just not a me game and how well I'm going to do in life, but we also have to look out for others and enriching them along the way. Edifying, encouraging one another. Edifying in love. We see those words throughout the scriptures. And so I ask again, which animal are you? Well, let's look at the first one, the chicken. Wouldn't you agree that in that story that the chicken had a spirit of apathy toward the rat? That's a word that we see a lot in, well, just about everything we do from day to day. I can go to work and see apathy existing. For those who don't care what happens, I'm just there to, well, sometimes you call it draw a check. I'm just there to draw a check. And hopefully things just turn out okay. But the comment of the chicken says, "Excuse me, Mr. Rat, I can tell this is a grave concern to you, but it is of no consequence to me. I cannot be bothered by it." Usually we can realize when an issue is of great concern for someone. However, since their problem is not our problem, and we feel it is of no consequence to us, we do not want to be bothered by the problems of other people. We ask the question, why such apathy on part of the chickens of life? Of those who have apathy. In that very apathy, we even use the word indifference. I don't care attitude. You remember that? One brother asked the other brother, you've heard this before. He said, "What is destroying the church today?" He says, "I don't know and I don't care." That's it. Ignorance is the first one. I don't know. And I don't care, apathy. Those are the things that are destroying the church. And so the thing is, the trap doesn't affect me. Notice there, so they think it doesn't. The chicken in our story met fate with a hatchet and a pot of boiling water. It truly affected the chicken, didn't it? All in all. Look at Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15. Jesus dealt a lot with apathetic figures. They played spiritual. They played religious. We talked about that this morning in our lesson about religious activity, but yet were they really concerned? You know, Jesus even made mention about the weightier matters of the law, how they have left those things undone. But here in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15, notice what it says. "For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them." There we find a true deficiency. That here it is, the religious leaders' rejection of the message of Jesus further blinded them to the spiritual nature of Christ's kingdom. If someone even sees that I'm unconcerned about the church, what kind of reflection does that make? Not a good one. That's leading them right into a trap, isn't it? We have to ask ourselves, when we think about a Christian, we are to be concerned individuals. We're to be concerned about His kingdom. You know, as our study in our Bible class, when you look at that, those scriptures from Acts that we had listed, how concerned do you find those people? Daily they were concerned about what was going on, weren't they? They were wondering about the church. They were praying that the church would grow, that it would be strengthened. They were continuing daily in the apostles' doctrine. They were steadfast. They was abounding in the work of the Lord, not just for themselves, but for others. They wanted to influence other Christians, other disciples of Christ, for better, not for worse. Surely we don't want our hearts to become like these that Isaiah prophesied of old. That's in Matthew 13 and 15. That our hearts have become dull. That we don't care. We have the apathetic state of mind. Our ears have become hard of hearing. Our eyes, to the very fact it says they have closed. Lest we should see with our eyes and hear with our ears. Lest we should understand with our hearts in turn. He told him in verse 16, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it. To hear what you hear and did not hear it." We should count ourselves as blessed of what we have and be willing to help others that they might be able to have the same. Romans 13 and verse 11. We ask the question now, what will be the fate of the apathetic? Romans 13 and verse 11. It talks about putting on Christ in this section here from verse 11 down through the end of that chapter. But he says, "And do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of," what is it? Sleep. "For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." He said in verse 12, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lust." Because we know that with the desires of that such, then I'm only looking out for myself. I don't have time to be looking out for anyone else upon this earth. I'm thankful that Jesus was not that mentality right there. I'm glad that he didn't have an apathetic state of mind. I'm glad he wasn't indifferent. I'm glad that Paul wasn't indifferent. I'm glad that Peter wasn't. I'm glad the disciples that were existing in the days of Acts, in the first century, were not apathetic. Because they cared about what would happen to the church, about what they would put into it, what they would contribute to the church, to His kingdom, for one another. "Let us not sleep," he said, "knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep." Believers are pictured to the very fact that we can fall asleep and that we can become inactive. Hopefully that does not refer to us today, that we are still watchful and still caring. Let's go on to the pig now. The pig showed a different attitude. Did you figure out which one he was? The pig showed a different attitude toward the rat. The comment of the pig, "I am so very sorry, Mr. Rat," sympathized the pig, "but there is nothing I can do about it but pray. Be assured that you are in my prayers." Man, I'm thankful for that pig there. He said that he was going to pray for Mr. Rat. Sympathy is actually a wonderful thing to have for others. You know, we see them at the stores and everything. We can grab boxes of sympathy cards. That's a very important thing, to let people know that we're thinking about them, that we're praying for them. But we all need sympathy from time to time. We know that. And it makes us feel loved and cared for, as we were just talking about. However, in most cases, sympathy and sorrow alone is not enough to correct or dismiss a rat trap from someone's life. We all remember that Good Samaritan. How did he... was he just a sympathetic person? He walked by and said, "That poor soul right there, I hope it turns out okay for him." That wouldn't have meant anything, would it? It was not enough to correct or dismiss the rat trap that was in that man's life on the side of that road, beaten nearly to death. We would even say that prayer is a wonderful thing, like we've been talking about in the Bible class. And I think it was good on the part of the pig to pray for the rat. It's kind of a weird, when you start thinking about it, preaching this kind of style here. Pigs and rats and such. We need prayer. But we also need action. Isn't that what they were doing? When we mentioned that in the Bible class, Romans 10 and verse 1. "My heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved." Is that where Paul stopped and said, "Well, they're going to be saved. I just know they're going to be saved. Because God's going to take care of it. He's going to enlarge the kingdom. It's going to be all right because God wants it to be done." Paul realized that when he was called, he was the instrument and vessel where? In God's service, to do exactly, not just pray, but also to take action on the prayer and his petition, his heart's desire. We see that in the book of Corinthians about Paul making that statement. He said about preaching, about Apollos watering. "He has laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon." It's a constant process. Every day. Many Christians never advance past feeling sorry or praying for someone. And that's a situation in itself, right? James chapter 2. Notice in James chapter 2. In James chapter 2, in verses 14 through 17. "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and be filled,' but do not give them the things which are needed for the body, the question is what? What does it profit?" Notice it, verse 17. "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." I think that's a very easy way of putting it, especially in our world today, who people who believe that we don't need works, but here it is. Works are actions. We would understand this in that very simple statement that he makes. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, "Depart in peace, be warmed and be filled," but do not give them the things that are necessary for them, what profit does it? None. 1 John 3, verses 17 and 18. 1 John 3, verses 17 and 18. Notice there with me, 1 John 3, verses 17 and 18. "But whoever has this world's good and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" Well, that's, see, we're getting a little bit deeper now. Where it stems from. Verse 18. "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Well, deed has that very idea of work, right? Just like we read there in James chapter 2. To love in word is to speak loving words, but to stop short of doing anything to prove that love. The opposite of loving in word is loving in deed and in truth, acting upon it. That should be our course of life. Think about ourselves on this. The key verse is 1 John 3 and verse 18 in the latter part. Sorrow and prayer need to be followed up by appropriate actions to alleviate the painful situations of life. Am I active or inactive in this area? How easy it is to become so consumed with myself. Possibly the pig was prayed for too. You think about that? Just before being eaten by the farmer's guest? I bet he was. What about me? Well, let's look at the third one. The cow. You talk about an attitude. The cow had a major attitude problem on this. Because the cow was indignant that the rat even mentioned the trap to her. As if I care is the type of attitude that you're getting from the cow, right? The cow didn't say much to the rat, but rather reminded him of her size versus a small rat trap. I mean, it's kind of a silly thing. You think about the little rat trap and you think about a huge cow. Yeah, see, we kind of start thinking ourselves, yeah, that's, I can understand the cow and the kind of sarcasm that the cow has there. Makes even, you know, the statement, duh, I am in grave danger, you know. The sarcastic remark assures us she felt no worry or threat by the small device that was set for the rat. But you know what? The rat trap actually brought about her death. Did you know that? From our story, that's what happened, wasn't it? The rat trap brought about her death to feed everybody else. Issues that we face in life. Which attitude portrays us? Hopefully not a single one of these. Because they are all bad attitudes to have within the church as we walk and live in the world as Christians. Do we have concern? Are we concerned disciples of Christ? When you see other disciples and the intense persecution that they underwent on a daily basis, they realized of where their strength needed to be. As they band together with love that was from above. And as we've said before, is if my love and my perspective for God is right, then my perspective and love for one another will be right. It will fit right into place. So we have to ask, do we love the Lord, the God, our God, with all of our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul? Hopefully we're not indignant. The rat, head down and dejected, had to actually face the crisis alone in that story. The very fact of the matter is that most of us in life will face our battles alone. When we think about physically, who's going to be there when we need them? Hopefully we're not sitting and waiting for someone, but that we're staying so busy helping others in their difficulties, which in turn can help us with ours. The chicken, pig, and cow didn't have time to help the rat in his dilemma. And that was made very evident from the statements that they made. And submit to you that the irony of the story is absolutely amazing. It always catches me every time that the farmer sets out to kill the rat. However, before the story is over, the chicken, pig, and the cow are all dead. And the little rat lives on. Isn't that ironic? I always love, that's one of my favorite stories that I've ever received. All three of those animals were affected by the rat's dilemma. As we conclude the lesson, we ask the question yet again, which animal are you? Which animal do I fit in? Which attitude characterizes me? As I stated, I hope we will not be like any of them. I hope that we won't turn out like any of them. Rather, Galatians 6 and verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Can we actually say this evening that daily we are concerned about what happens to the church, His kingdom? Can we say that we have the mindset of the disciples in the days of Acts, who band together in the midst of intense persecution? And even in the midst of intense persecution, they grew by leaps and bounds because they were truly concerned. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then will he have rejoicing in himself alone and not another. For each one shall bear his own load. You think about what we're doing. You think about what Paul was telling those at Galatians about deceiving self, that concluding that we are something special through short-sighted self-comparison with those who seem to have fallen. We know better to compare ourselves among ourselves. And instead of examining and judging others, a Christian should always examine his own work to see if he or she is closely following Christ's example. And by following Christ's example, we can truly be set in a position to help others to live just the way Christ would have them live as well. So Paul says to do good. In verse 9, he says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Can we say that we have not lost heart? Do we really have great concern? I hope so. As you get your handout ready, think about the words that we're going to be singing. Bear another's burden. Do we have the mindset of willingly sharing our burdens with one another? Do we need to call upon each other right now for love, for the help to make it through some heartache, some problem that we're facing? Are we willing to share our load today? Do we need to? Because truly, it says, cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. And we can be the encouragement that each one needs at this time. If we're subject in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing a song that's been selected.